things are about to get hot around here.
I know it. I totally know it.
My friends and me work overtime.
On this whole specter of impeachment, so much talk about impeachment the last couple of weeks in Washington. As you know, a lot of Republicans say that you personally are the person fueling this. You want to keep this debate going to help Democrats rally their base. I want to show Nate Silver at 538 did a piece this week where he said Democrats are way more obsessed with impeachment than Republicans. Points out that more mentions in Congress by Democrats than Republicans. MSNBC has talked about impeachment 5 times more than Fox News.
Friday.
One Iraqi in the area cried to the world, there is no one coming to help. Well, today America is coming to help. And when we have the unique capabilities to help avert a massacre, then I believe the United States of America cannot turn a blind eye.
This week, ISIS militants took control of areas of northern Iraq that are home to religious minorities. They issued an ultimatum: convert to Islam or face potential death.
These are not somebody else's kids. These are our kids.
That was the Vice President of the United States basically saying the border children are not someone else's children. They're our children. You know what? When a society loses its focus, when it starts saying that children don't belong to people, they belong to government.
Friday.
It's Friday! Yeah!
It's 6 minutes after 7 o'clock, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. And as you know, the last 2 hours of a Friday show, we give extra leeway latitude to our listeners. So go ahead and give us a shout here, 206-421-5757. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what's in the news that's caught your attention that you want to sound off on here at 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. Right off the bat, there's Brent, South Lake Union. Hello there, Brent.
When Saddam Hussein was in charge of Iraq, his speaker was Tariq Aziz, who was Christian.
Yes.
He had given a few gifts to the Christians, and so he left them alone. If we had never gone over there, this wouldn't have happened. As far as these antiquities, they have a museum in Iraq. It's one of the oldest human civilizations that there are, and so a lot of that stuff is in the museum. This stuff should have been in the museum. At this point, we need to go and protect Americans, and we need to go and give give these poor people a fighting chance. But that's all we can do. We went over there. It didn't help. We left. It didn't help. We should have never gone over there to begin with. As far as the mentally ill, you're going and you would be putting people away without a charge, without treatment. This seems unconstitutional for me. Also, as far as the Mariners, it was great listening on KVI last night, just like the old days when Danny came.
That's right. Came. Yes, it was nostalgia night. The Mariner game was on KVI. All right, Brent covered three quick stories. And we're about to talk about the issue of the mentally ill no longer can be psychologically or psychiatrically boarded. Now, we're not talking about waterboarding or torture or anything like that. It's a procedure that will, now that it is no longer allowed, probably result in more seriously mentally ill people being released out on the streets. We'll get into that in a minute. Before we do, a quick word on Iraq. Brent says we never should have gone over there and that we didn't make it better. Well, first of all, we did make it better. No Saddam, a democracy that had a fighting chance. We had vanquished Al-Qaeda. They had more political stability. They had more hope. But the question is, you know, could it exist on its own without the U.S. being there to help like we were in Korea, like we were in after the Korean conflict, in Japan after World War II, in Germany after World War II? And the answer is no, I don't think that it could have subsisted on its own because there's no tradition for it. But there's another question to ask, which is, even if we did make it better for the time that we were there, was it worth it? And I think you can make a very good argument that as bad as Saddam Hussein was, There would not have been an ISIS if Saddam were in power. There would not have been a campaign of persecution against Christians. He was unquestionably the biggest mass murderer on the planet. He was unspeakably cruel. But was it worth the time, the treasure, and most preciously, all these American lives, 5,200 American servicemen and women, and tens of thousands maimed and permanently injured as a result? Because remember, we went in there convinced, and I believe honestly convinced, that he held weapons of mass destruction. That turned out to either be a mistake, he didn't have the weapons of mass destruction, or he moved them across the border into Syria. So that was the pretext. And of course, you know, the left was saying, you know, Bush lied, Americans died. Bush did not lie. Bush's position on Saddam and weapons of mass destruction was exactly the position of Bill Clinton's. That he held these weapons, that he was defying the UN, and that he was prepared to use them against his opponents or barter them to terrorists. So Bush basically just continued the Clinton line, but after 9/11, where the stakes of outlaw regimes holding weapons of mass destruction went up exponentially, he moved against Saddam Hussein, even though Saddam had nothing to do with 9/11. It was never alleged he did. Just having people like that was one more reason why the world was an unsafe place. Saddam himself was bluffing like he had weapons of mass destruction, even though he was saying that he didn't, which is kind of ironic. It's like a gangster is saying, you know, I don't have weapons, while giving you that leer that tells you that he's got weapons, you know, and a heavy trench coat. So, you know, that is a very legitimate question about Iraq. The mentally ill stuff we'll get into in a minute. But a couple people want to rebut what he was saying, including Jay in Renton. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, John. Hey, yeah, first, well, and you brought up the saying that there was no chemicals of mass destruction or any weapons of mass destruction. There was cyanosarin that was found, which is a highly toxic gas. There was mustard gas that was found.
Mm-hmm.
There was 2,000 soldiers that were terrorist individuals that were being trained at different terrorist camps. And also, Saddam Hussein was also giving money to suicide bombers in Palestine.
Hezbollah,
too.
$10,000 bounty if you kill Jews with suicide bombs. Yeah, no,
those are the only issues I want to bring up, but those are three different issues that are very good reasons for us to go in there and to stop. And those terrorist camps that were set up in Iraq are very much like what ISIS is today.
Yeah, the other thing about Iraq is that, remember, we had basically, we were controlling from the air 2/3 of Iraq territory. Remember the no-fly zones? You know, those were areas where we basically told Saddam he could not fly because he was using military aircraft to terrorize people. And so, you know, that policy was in place. Pat calling from Everett. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, John. The caller that was talking about Iraq and how we shouldn't have gone and
Brent.
And whatever, mm-hmm. maybe he forgets the mass graves that were unearthed and the people that were imprisoned simply for speaking out against Saddam Hussein. You know, and the argument that maybe we shouldn't have gone or whatever, you know, at this point, to say that, I mean, the reason it is the way it is today is because we completely pulled out.
Yes, that is true.
We had the country stabilized. You know, people in Iraq were voting in elections for the first time in how long, you know?
Well, I think pretty much, I mean, in terms of a free and fair election, the first time in their life.
Yeah, exactly. And your last caller's comments about them finding, you know, they did use chemical weapons against the Kurds in the north. And,
yes.
And I don't know how that always seems to get forgotten. And
no,
5,000 like
dead, 5,000 dead Kurds. Chemical Ali, one of Saddam's closest associates. You see, that is what greatly amped up the alarm about Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction, is that he actually used them.
One last comment, if I could.
Yep.
I have a friend of mine who served in Iraq, two tours, and he's emotionally distraught over what he sees over there, because he left some stuff behind there. You know, he left a part of him is still in Iraq, and for them to have just completely withdrawn and given the country over to terrorists. You know, he's an emotional wreck over the whole thing. He suffers from a little PTSD, and to come home and to survive and come home and then see it to just get handed over to the terrorists.
It's really
got him distraught.
It's like the Obama administration says that what you did wasn't worth saving.
Why wasn't it worth
I thank you very much, Pat, for the call. Why wasn't it worth saving? I mean, you can argue about, with the benefit of hindsight, whether we should have gone in or out, or whether we should have gone in the first place. But once we were there, you know, do it right. And, you know, overthrowing Saddam, replacing him with a pluralistic democracy, presupposes that you would have American troops there to safeguard what we accomplished. Just, you know, again, as we did in the aftermath of World War II and in the aftermath of the Korean conflict. And instead, we simply walked out. I think the Obama administration is completely disingenuous when they say, well, that was the Iraqis' call. No, they didn't want us out. When they found out that Obama didn't want us there and that he was offering a number of a troop force that was 1/7 of what our own military leaders had recommended to him, it's when they said, you guys aren't even sincere about this. And so I understand. You know, my nephew served in Iraq. And Afghanistan. Everyone who served, particularly if they were in the infantry, knows someone who went there, didn't come back, or who came back badly damaged physically, psychologically, or both. And so what they did was worth preserving, is worth honoring. And if that isn't reason enough, the fact that we left explains why ISIS now exists. They filled the vacuum. And when the Iraqi government asked us to come back, the answer was no. We said, well, can you at least strike them from the air? No. Can you at least send in some drones? No. Well, why should we attack the, as Obama called them, the junior varsity? He actually called ISIS the junior varsity back in January. So now the junior varsity controls Mosul and Tikrit. Has taken over the largest hydroelectric dam in Iraq. And we are now authorizing airstrikes so they don't wipe out and ethnically and religiously cleanse entire villages up north. These people are fleeing into Kurdistan. That is the price we paid for walking away and not maintaining a presence there to keep the peace. You know, the problem with Obama and the left, they think that the U.S., that the visibility, the presence of the U.S. threatens the peace. This is the same mistake they made in Benghazi. Don't use American troops. You know, use the locals to provide security. You know, having the U.S. presence creates problems. Actually, it deters problems. And the fact that we didn't have adequate security, U.S. security on the ground in Benghazi, shows what happens. The fact that we pulled almost all of our troops out of Iraq and military and personnel shows out of Iraq shows what happens. What happens is ISIS. All right, now I promised I would talk about this landmark and seismic ruling by the state Supreme Court that could well result in many seriously mentally ill, dangerous people being tossed back out on the streets. I'll explain about that ruling. Boeing jets are in the background in a new TV ad for a politician's re-election. But that politician isn't running for re-election here in Washington. And also, a top congressional Democrat pulls a comment that Phil Vandervoort calls a Joe Biden. I think you will agree when you hear what he said.